Welcome and thank you for joining today's California ISO Media Briefing. All audio lines have been muted until the Q&A portion of the call. We will give you instructions on how to ask a verbal question at that time. With that, I'll turn the call over to Mr. Eric Schmidt, Vice President of Operations. Eric, please go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Welcome, everybody. We appreciate your time to join us for this briefing this afternoon. And first and foremost, I want to thank everyone, customers, and the media for helping us yesterday. We had a challenging day yesterday, and we, in our emergency plan, we reached a stage two, but we were able to avoid any rolling outages. So we appreciate your help with yesterday. We need more help today. In fact, today is probably sizing up to be our most challenging day of the year. We have very severe conditions on the system with high lows. We're actually projecting at this point approximately 49,000 megawatts on the system. Our highest load thus far this year is around 47,100. And I think it's fair to say that without really significant conservation and help from customers today, that we'll have to have some rolling outages. So this is really an appeal for people to help us out to get through this, what will prove to be a very, very difficult day. I'm going to pass it now to John Phipps, our Director of Real-Time Operations, and he'll share some details from yesterday and some of our details for today. John?
Thank you, Eric. Yeah, as Eric said, I'm John Phipps, Director of Real-Time Operations. So I'll do a little review of yesterday. We did see that the loads did come in close to forecast, and in fact came in a little bit above forecast by the evening peak load. During the day, we did have, as you guys know, several fires throughout the state, and two of the fires that we saw actually did impact generation capabilities for the California ISO. The total loss was around 1,600 megawatts of generation capacity that was lost. So that did impact our operations. We had to go into our emergency procedures. We declared our warning, which is just saying that we're anticipating being short on capacity. We were able to use some demand response to get through some of the afternoon hours. But then as we got into the solar resources ramping off, we became ramp constrained or resource constrained in the evening, and we went into our stage two emergency, which means I'm walking towards some firm load shedding or the rotating outages. That allowed us to get some additional emergency assistance from our neighboring utilities, and that allowed us to get through the evening without having to do any of the rotating outages. So that was a good outcome for yesterday. So today, as Eric said, we are projecting a load of a little over 49,000 megawatts. We are running very close to our forecast right now, and we did see that our day-ahead outlook showed us being short for this afternoon, upwards to near 4,000 megawatts of shortage. So we have we declared an alert yesterday saying that we saw a shortage for today. At noon, we issued a warning because we still have not been able to find enough energy to make up that shortage. It's looking as we progress to the afternoon here that probably between 4 and 5 p.m. we would enter into our stage two emergency again. That will allow us to get some additional emergency assistance from some of the neighboring utilities. Depending on how much we can get, we could see possible rotating outages starting around 5 p.m. It is hot across much of the West, and we're seeing loads on the entire Western United States higher than they were yesterday. So the resource outlook at this point is very tight and constrained. So that's the basic outlook for today. Back to you, Eric.
Okay, thanks, John. I think we're ready for questions now, please.
Ladies and gentlemen, as we move to Q&A, please press pound 2 on your telephone keypad to enter the verbal question queue. Please press pound 2 on your telephone keypad to enter the verbal question queue. You will hear a notification when your line is unmuted. At that time, please state your name and your question. Once again, please press pound 2 if you wish to ask a question. We do have several questions in the queue. Caller, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi there. This is Colby Bermel with Politico in Sacramento. Thanks so much for taking the time to talk to us. I was wondering how much conservation would be needed today to avoid possible outages, and how much conservation did you see Saturday compared to August conservation?
Well, this is Eric Schmidt. As John mentioned, we're looking at a mismatch between supply and demand of some 4,000 megawatts. That's, 7 or 8% of our projected or forecasted peak load. It's hard for us to measure, conservation. We can make some estimates around it, but it's hard to estimate that. That's a big gap. However, in August 17 and 18 timeframe, we had gaps that, my recollection, is around maybe 3,000 megawatts, and the conservation efforts on those days worked. We didn't have any rolling outages for those days, as you know. So we know that it can work. It's hard for us to quantify precisely. Our gap today is at least as big, if not bigger, than it was on August 17 and 18.
Gotcha. Thank you. Just a quick follow-up, if I may. You had discussed that you were getting some help from neighboring balancing authorities, and I was wondering if those balancing authorities might have the possibility, like, of outages themselves, like if they're sending power to the LSEs, like in the CAISO balancing authority.
They are responsible to take care of their own balancing authority, and to the extent that their resource situation allows them to share, if you will, and likewise for us, then that's generally the way we operate in the interconnect. John, do you have anything to add to that?
No, Eric, what you stated is correct. Everybody's seeing tight supplies, and we help each other when we can. But once we get to positions where either any of the balancing authorities do not have excess capacity that may have been available yesterday, I won't be able to see that today. They do need to make sure they can't be giving energy away to somebody else and then having to turn on a shed load to be able to supply that energy.
Yeah, and I'm assuming that, like, the neighboring balancing authorities, that they're voluntarily sharing some of their excess capacity with LSEs, like in the CAISO?
Yes.
Gotcha. And then last question, thank you so much for your time. Was wondering about the 1,600 megawatts of resources that were taken offline yesterday. Assuming that that's a transmission issue, of course, in terms of probably CAISO directing those lines to be powered off, right? And can anything be done, like, in those situations to avoid that?
No, I mean, those outages were caused by fire on the system. And fires can relay transmission lines and strand generation, as we saw yesterday. And to the extent those conditions still exist, that generation is still stranded. We've gotten some of it back. What happened yesterday could actually happen today. As you know, we have fires all throughout the state, and we could have similar issues very easily today.
We do have other questions in the queue. Caller, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you. Dale Kessler, Sacramento Bee, calling. The governor said that, in terms of what happened yesterday, the governor's office said that there was a hydro plant of 900 and some megawatts that went down because of the creek fire. And I think, John, you mentioned it was a total of 1,600 megawatts that went down yesterday. What was the other 700 or so? Can you tell us that?
Well, we lost some solar resources as a consequence of transmission fire on transmission line. It stranded the solar resources.
All right. Thank you. And at 4,000 megawatts of shortage, how does that translate into numbers of customers that might that the utilities might have to cut power to, if it comes to that?
That could be as many as 2.5 to 3 million customers.
Let's move on to the next question. Caller, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Rob Nicoleski from the San Diego Union Tribune. I got kind of a 50,000 foot question for you, and that's we're seeing these constraints, very serious constraints in California's system. How come we're not seeing those in states like Arizona or Washington? Why is California this unique or outlier?
Well, I think those same constraints are actually materializing in all throughout the West and various other balancing authorities as well. I think, you know, we're experiencing weather conditions that cut across the whole interconnect, and there have constraints as well.
But not to the extent that California, I don't know of any other state that's got, that's had rolling or rotating outages and or any other states that are having calls like this saying, if we don't get 4,000 megawatts of conservation somehow, we're going to have rotating outages.
Well, again, I think the region is experiencing the same stresses, and actually some other of the balancing authorities have had to have some rolling outages as well during these periods of time, and it's likely that we'll see more of that as we go forward.
And then one last follow-up. I noticed I'm in San Diego, and we've had some outages, about 15,000 people in SDG&E territory had some outages yesterday. I also heard that there were some outages in the Southern California Edison territory. If you could explain to the uninitiated, does this have anything to do with the constraints that CAISO has seen, or are those two things completely unrelated? And if so, why?
Yeah, John, do you have any insight into the, there must have been distribution outages on down south?
I do know that on the Edison system, some of the fires that are down there did cause distribution level outages, and some of those were the same fires that affected our generation and transmission that we count on for serving load. And the one at San Diego, I have to assume it was distribution level, because there, for any true customer outages, that would have been at the distribution level.
Okay, we do have other questions in the queue. Caller, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Thank you. This is Sharon McNary at KPCC, Southern California Public Radio. Two questions. First, is LADWP supplying energy to the CAISO system?
Are you asking, will they or are they?
Yeah. Are they, and are there plans for them to do that today?
To the extent that they have resources that they're able to spare, given their situation, which is stressed as well, they will share with us.
Okay. And then the other question, I'm looking at the today's Outlook page online, and it looks like the available capacity is above the forecasted peak. For somebody who doesn't look at this stuff all the time, why do we not just conclude that there's, you know, almost 3,000 megawatts of, you know, ceiling there? Why are you saying you're going to come up 4,000 short?
What's not apparent when you look at that number is the kinds of capacity that it's capturing. In other words, it could be capacity that, according to our systems, indicates that it's there, but in practice, practically, it's not there. So the way we operate is with what's real time, what our capacity numbers are in the control center.
So is this a snapshot and not what's happening at the end of the day when you need it most?
It is. I mean, we're operating real time, and the capacity can change in an instant. And so, you know, on one hand, this is directionally correct, but when it comes down to us balancing the system, the number can very likely be, and it is likely lower than that.
Okay, let's move on to the next caller. Caller, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Hi, thank you so much again. I guess I did want to just ask a few questions about this, why you guys have 1,600 megawatts not in capacity. Were the lines, where were the lines running to and from? I guess that's my first question.
So are you talking about the yesterday?
Right, yesterday.
The 1,600 megawatts. John, do you remember off the top of your head the lines that were affected by the fires?
I know the regions. This is John Phipps. The some of the lines were those related to the fire that's in the Sierra foothill area down there in the Big Creek area. And there's those lines there that was lost transmission and generation capacity. The other big loss was down in the desert southwest area, in a sense, the Imperial Valley area.
Right. And I guess, how many kilovolts were in the lines?
The rating of the lines in the Big Creek area are 230,000 volt lines, and down in the Imperial Valley area about 500,000 volt lines. So that's the voltage rating of those lines. Now the power that's being transmitted at the time, I'd have to actually go and check. I don't have the exact numbers on the amount of energy that was flowing on those lines at that time.
Right. And then in terms of were they connected to a big solar farm out in the desert or a generation plant near the cities?
Yes, in the Imperial Valley area, those lines were taking energy out of the solar farm area and bringing them into Southern California. And in the Big Creek area, it was taking hydro generation energy and bringing it down into Southern California.
Right. And, you know, I think for our readers here in the Bay Area, I'm with the Mercury News, I don't think I said that. I wanted to explain a little bit about why something like this happening in Southern California would impact us. Why is that?
This is John Phipps again. It's one big interconnected system. So the California ISO Balancing Authority is actually like one big electrical network. And so energy that's being generated at one plant can feed homes at a completely other end of the state. But the balancing area as a whole has X amount of load on the system, and they need the same amount of generation being provided. So if there's energy that's being lost on the system anywhere, it impacts the ability for the California ISO to be able to serve the demand that's on the system. The same as if Diablo Canyon had problems in the Northern California, that could impact San Diego if there's not enough energy on the system to meet all of the demand.
Okay, let's move on to the next caller. Caller, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Yes, hello, it's David Baker with Bloomberg. Two questions. You said that some of the stranded generation was back up and available today. Out of the 1,600 megawatts that we lost yesterday, about how much of that is now back and available again? And then a second question, very much consumer facing. If we do get to rotating blackouts, how is it determined which blocks within each utility go first in that rotation and which ones end up going last?
Okay. This is Eric Schmidt again. I think roughly half of the generation that we lost yesterday will be available today. And then on the rolling outages, that's controlled by the utilities. So our job is to give a direction to the utilities to say we need X amount of load to be rotated. and then they execute. They have protocols and processes within within their utilities, and then they execute.
Eric, this is John Phipps again. Just to even help during this call, Eric's correct. We had gotten back about half of the generation that was lost yesterday, but just at the beginning of this call, we did lose some additional generation due to fires again. So we're kind of back into the same position we were at the beginning of the day here. We got some generation back, but fire just took out roughly 10, 15 minutes ago, another 500 to 600 megawatts of capacity.
Thanks for that, John.
Appreciate that color there. One last thing. Did you say earlier that we could be seeing 2.5 to 3 million customer accounts losing power today, or was that the size of the shortfall that you're facing right now?
The shortfall that we're forecasting at the moment could affect that many customers, 2.5 to 3 million customers. And that, mm-hmm. that number is at about the 7 p.m. time frame.
Got it. And it's customers as opposed to individual people, right? Customer accounts?
It's customers, yes.
Got it. Thank you very much.
This is Mark Rothiter. Just to add on to that, I think that customer count is assuming that we do not get much conservation and other relief. If we get the relief and conservation, that number can be reduced. And that's why we are asking for that relief. Thank you.
Let's move on to the next caller. Caller, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Hey, this is Chris with the Associated Press. Which fire were you talking about today when you said there was impacts today? And also, do you know how long the outages might last if rolling blackouts begin?
John, go ahead.
Sure, thank you. John Phipps. The fire, I don't know the name of that one. Like I said, it was just reported about 15 minutes ago that we had lost another generator due to the fire. So I don't have that fire. I apologize. And then the rotating outages, we anticipate that it would last between 3 to 4 hours.
And if I heard you right, you're not sure exactly where these customers would be that are affected. It could be anywhere across the state.
The utilities control that. The utilities establish their protocols for that. John's right that the duration of the event could be 3 or 4 hours, but my understanding is that generally, because they're rolling outages, that the customer, the individual customer impact is something less than that. So a customer may lose their power for an hour or an hour and a half while the event still is going on. And then some new customers would be interrupted later in the event, for example.
And just one final thing on the new fire. I know you don't know the name. Do you happen to know where it is? Is it? Could it be the new one that's down here in L.A. County?
Based on where the generator's located, I do know it's in Southern California, the eastern part of Southern California.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, let's move on to the next caller. Caller, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead. Caller, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead. Caller, we are unable to hear you. Okay, let's move on to the next caller. Caller, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Elizabeth McCarthy from California Current. Hope you're not roasting too much up there. Anyway, I had a couple of questions. One of them was, which neighboring utilities provided power yesterday at the stage two and how much? And my other question is how much the Department of Water Resources and the Bureau, how much they provided of load shedding like they did in August, if you have those numbers. Thanks.
John, do you have some numbers around those questions?
I know that we did receive, this is John Phipps, I know we did receive some emergency, or we received some energy. Some of it was just that as we approached an emergency was made available to us outside of what we would call emergency assistance from both Los Angeles Department of Water and Power and SMUD. And then during our emergency stage two, those are in the range of 300 to 400 megawatts between LA giving us that much, and then SMUD also gave us 300 to 400 megawatts.
So about 600?
And then we got an addition.
About a total of 600?
Yeah, and that would have been correct.
Okay. And do you know about the load shifting, Department of Water Resources on their state water project and some of the Bureau load shifting?
I know, this is John Phipps again. I know from the CDWR, we saw about 190 megawatts of pump load that was moved during the last heat event. And when you're talking about the Bureau, which Bureau is that?
Bureau of Reclamation.
I don't have any numbers from Bureau of Reclamation.
Do you have any from MET? From MET, Metropolitan Water District?
That one, I not off the top of my head. I know we got saw okay. some pump movement. But I don't want to guess because I do not remember for sure the number.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Let's move on to the next caller. Caller, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Hi, this is Josh Kane from the Orange County Register. I wanted to follow up on what you guys were talking about in terms of the rotating outages. When you're talking about an event lasting 3 to 4 hours, or if that means, you know, an hour for any individual customer, I'm wondering why it takes that long to turn the power back on. Just the way I understood it, you know, if this is a rotating outage, that's the utility, you know, either randomly or looking at the list and turning the power off. I'm wondering, in terms of getting the power back on for folks, does it just take that long to turn the power back on, or is the hour length or however long it is that to aid in conservation? What's actually happening operationally, I guess?
Well, I think it's probably a combination of those things. And again, the utilities control the duration and then how they switch it back in. And it depends, I expect, on what's taken out and how long it takes them to put it back in. If we, the duration of the event is driven by when we expect to see our first imbalance, if you will, our first shortfall. And at the moment, that's around 5 p.m. And as we look through the rest of the evening, it's projected to have an increasing shortfall all the way through about 10 o'clock. And so what we'll do if we actually have to, you know, if we find ourselves in that situation, is the California ISO will systematically, depending on system conditions, will ask for a piece of it, you know, the piece that will balance our system. And then we watch our system, how it behaves, is it recovering, and so on. And that could take, you know, 20 minutes, it could take 30 minutes, it could take an hour. And then if things deteriorate further, then we give another order for just the amount that we think we need to make sure the system is balanced. And then the utilities translate those aggregate order into a protocol that is handled by their distribution system. And we don't have any visibility to that. And so I guess really the real answer to that is with the utilities, precisely how they execute our order.
Got it. And then one other question. When you're talking about, I'm wondering if you're mentioning the impact to your guys' line or to utility lines from the fires that we have going on, including the one that you just mentioned that popped up. But I'm wondering, you know, you were forecasting possible lines being de-energized today from wildfires. Are there any other areas where you expect or are forecasting potentially having lines having to be shut down today? Would that be in like the Creek Fire area, or are there other areas where you're seeing some troublesome sort of fire behavior?
Right. So if I use the word the forecast in that context, I think it's probably misleading. What I tried to communicate is that when there's fires on the system and their movement is variable, that if there's transmission in the area, then it could be exposed to the fire. So we obviously we're cognizant and watch all the fire activity very closely. We track it to see how close it gets to our transmission lines. Fires can move very quickly. While 1 minute they could be 3 or 4 miles away from a transmission line, in 20 minutes they could be within a mile. So so we don't necessarily forecast it unless they become very, very close, and then we begin to set up the system conservatively to assume that a particular transmission circuit may go out. We try to get in front of that, and most of the time we do.
And then if I could ask one more question, I'm wondering when a line potentially gets de-energized, does that necessarily mean that the community that's down, that's supplied by that line, gets their power turned off, or are there other ways to restore to have those communities continue to get power, or does it automatically?
No, they wouldn't necessarily lose electricity. In fact, most of the time they don't, because of what I just said a moment ago, that because we're tracking the movement of these fires, and we can set up our system to accommodate a transmission line, losing a transmission line. So then when if it happens and our system is configured to handle it, then we continue to maintain reliability on the system. This is our, 99% of the time, this is the way it actually happens. But when there's so much fire and it's so pervasive in the state and close to transmission lines, it's hard to reconfigure the network if you have multiple impacts on your transmission system. But most of the time, people don't lose electricity if a transmission line goes out.
Okay, we will move on to the next caller. Caller, your line is unmuted. Please go ahead.
Hi, Raquel Dillon from KQED in San Francisco. Looking forward to tomorrow, PG&E has advised that they might have public safety power shutoffs due to wind in the forecast. Can you explain if we're looking at the similar situation forecast, supply and demand-wise, what do you think public safety power shutoffs will mean, and how will they complicate your decision-making?
We'll get that input from PG&E, and our engineering team immediately begins to evaluate the projection for various transmission components that are taken out of service. And back to what I said a previous question is, we'll configure the system to accommodate those outages. It's hard to tell, what the implications are with that compared to what we're dealing with, on the system already. But we have a particular process, a procedure to handle the PSPS requests from the utilities, and that's what we'll execute. And we'll do our very best to configure the system to handle it.
Is it a net positive, possibly? Meaning, their power except for the people who are supposed to.
Hard to tell at this point. We have to do our analysis. And by the way, that analysis moves. So the utilities will give us an early idea about what the impact of the PSPS is. But it's 8 hours later, they can revise it. 24 hours later, they can add or subtract to it. So it's a moving. It's a moving target, but we iterate, our engineering teams iterate, and we continue to analyze it right up to real time so that we optimize the system accordingly.
If they're submitting that impact, their plans to you, is that something we could request from CAISO?
Not ordinarily. We, you know, all our outage activity is handled, you know, internally with procedures and so on. It wouldn't be something that we would share externally.
That was our last question. We are we do not have any further questions in the queue. Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our conference. Thank you for using AT&T Event Services. You may now disconnect.